star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Ah, yes, we know that means one thing. It is Highway Patrol time, safety talk on KWHI. Greg Montana is always being joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan from the DPS here in studio live to answer whatever questions you may have. Anything that deals with the highways and the byways, the roadways, the FM, the farm to market roads, whatever questions you may have. Waterways and skyways, that we got you covered here. And if you have a question for it, call us at studio, 979-836-9937, or send us an email. We'll check those periodically, mail, M-A-I-L, at kwhi.com. As always, Corbin Morgan, we appreciate you. Thank you very much for coming in and talking to us today.
Oh, well, thanks for allowing me to come.
Oh, you're always welcome. Open door policy for you.
Oh, okay. Well, I was hoping to have a couple extra guests this morning, but that didn't play out, so I'm going to be doing the solo thing. So
that's all right.
I've been there before, so
yeah. We'll get it. We got you covered.
Well, we were very, very busy this week in Washington County, and I was telling Ed this morning that I actually drove up on the one vehicle accident north of Brenham on 36, just inside Washington County line. Single vehicle went off the road, came back on, overcorrected, and ended up laying on its side. Did visit with the lady shortly. Actually had some good Samaritans, some nurses and stuff that stopped by and helped until EMS did arrive on scene. So I thank you them for your help. So that proves people do help out here. So we're not all bad, but I appreciate their help, and I believe the person's going to be okay. Don't know exactly why she went off the road, and I'm sure the troopers will figure that out when it's all said and done. But she's going to be okay, and so no life-threatening injuries on that.
Well, that's good. That's always good to hear that, you know, somebody's going to get hurt like that and going to be okay.
Right. Now, yesterday, my understanding, there was a pursuit here in Washington County, and the reason I'm bringing it up, I mean, is that we got to just pay attention. And this is why I tell people you got to pay attention to what's going on the roadway. And a lot of times people will see an emergency vehicle, and they'll see him on the other side, and then they'll sit there and go, well, he's on the other side. You know, there's grass separating me, or there's a median. And I'm okay on this side. But the law is very specific on that. Similar to the school bus law, that when you see an emergency vehicle, that you have to slow down and stop. But they want you to stop on the closest part of the edge of the roadway or the shoulder. And in this particular instance, reason this I'm bringing this up, that my understanding is the motorcycle was heading westbound in the eastbound lane. When it was off. And so if you're sitting or driving on a roadway and you saw an emergency vehicle and whatever, you're thinking, well, if he's on the other side, I'm good. Well, what you probably wasn't seeing was a motorcycle coming right at you. So that's why it's very important to make sure you're paying attention not only to the emergency vehicle, because you never know if they're just responding to a scene or if they're actually in pursuit, in this case, a motorcycle. And sometimes cars are hard to see. People pull out in front of cars all the time, and I can tell you motorcycles are hard to see at times, especially at the speeds that this motorcycle was going. The good part about all this is that we were able to make this in it without nobody seriously getting hurt. So we appreciate that, and just want to remind drivers when you are approached from an emergency vehicle either direction, you need to move to the shoulder of the roadway or close to the edge of the roadway and stop until that emergency vehicle does pass by.
And that includes even if there is a barrier in between the two?
Well,
because you're saying, like with the school bus.
Well, I just remember, I mean, not, by law, I think where there's grass, I think you're okay. However, best practice for me, we had a pursuit years ago over in Burleson County. Well, actually, it went about a year or two ago. And it was separated by grass. And we had an accident out of that where the people were involved was because I think, you know, they were looking at the emergency vehicle across the other side of the roadway, but the vehicle that was being pursued was actually on them. So by law, you would be okay, but on common sense and just good safe practice, if you don't move over, at least be paying attention and maybe something on your side of the roadway. So there is nothing that keeps you from moving to the shoulder and coming to the stop and allowing that vehicle to go by if you have the time to do it. Mm-hmm. So you can do it, but if you're separated by grass or a wall or something like that, then by law, you know, certainly we couldn't do nothing about that. But like a left turn lane, yes, you would have to. It would be just like a school bus.
Okay.
Okay? Let's see what else. Well, and you know, I've been pointing out, I got this call the other day, how many fatalities we have in the state of Texas. And I can say this number could rise a little bit. The 3479 is because, some of the times the reports and stats are slow getting into the state. But one of the interesting things that I was looking at this week was that, as a U.S., there's over 3,200 fatalities a year. 32,000 fatalities in the United States. And so Texas tends to have somewhere around 10% of those fatalities each year in this state. So there's a lot of people that lose their lives across this, not only this state, but across the U.S. on fatality accidents. And certainly with the weather and stuff, the Northeast got not just too long ago, there's going to be some fatalities out of that. And a lot of these are weather related. But most of these accidents, or if not all of them, can be prevented if we just take the time and slow down and in climate weather and wear our seatbelt. This morning, the lady did have her seatbelt on at the time of the crash. She took it off as she was in the car. But I think that helps. You know, obviously she'll testify that it helped. So wearing the seatbelt obviously helps, especially in a major crash, increase your chance of survival anywhere from 45% to 50%. And then we're good odds in Las Vegas. So I just want to remind people that slow down, pay attention, good following distance, and being secured in your seatbelt and not being distracted is, if you can just do them few things, I think you'll find yourself and out of these accidents that we are often reporting on. Let's see here. We had a caller on my last show here, and I, you know, sometimes when people call in, I know they're doing the best they can to describe what's going on, but he was asking a question about a driver license that somebody had, and he was looking at a restriction part. And something that LOFS 21 or whatever, and he was trying to figure out what all that meant. And, of course, I had Craig with me, and Craig's wife was a DL, so I used to have her on this show, but she's in Austin now as a recruiter. But I did visit briefly when I got back to Bryan, and one of the things, there's so many things I can pertain to, but I can give you a scenario where this would be the case. Say like you were, for instance, you were trying to get a CDL driver license, and you went and took your written test, but you had to make your appointment to take your driving test. Well, during that time frame, they may issue the driver license saying, we'll allow you to drive until the driving test, but you have to be with somebody that is licensed to drive that vehicle and had been doing so for a year. And they have to be at the age of 21. So the restriction would read LOF, license operator, front seat, 21. So that's exactly what that means. And there's different scenarios where that could be put on a driver license. So I don't know what their particular case was, but that's typically what that means, that you have to have somebody that has that type of license, is able to drive the vehicle you're driving, but they have to be in the front seat of that vehicle. There was a caller also, and I was trying to remember all the calls that we had, but certainly they can call back. But always remember this, that they're under the transportation code, there is a law that says, look, if you have more than three people in your vehicle and that restricts your vision in, say, front cab of a truck, then you would technically be in violation of the law. So the number's three or more. Over three. So be careful how many people you cram into a truck. So if your vision is obstructed because of that, you would then be in violation of law on that. Another thing I'm seeing around town, just driving around just throughout the district, is that I notice a lot of people are leaving their expired MVI certificates on the vehicle. You can go ahead and remove them from your vehicle at any time.
What?
Like this morning, I saw a March 2015 inspection on somebody's car.
Inspection sticker, okay.
Yeah, so we don't have an inspection law sticker anymore. So you especially the expired ones, you can go ahead and scrape them off. Do not leave them on there. Because the reason I'm saying that, because, you know, you're going to have the registration sticker, and I don't want an officer to kind of get which one is which. You may get stopped and say, oh, I thought your registration out. Actually, it's an old inspection that you have left on the car. So go ahead and remove them stickers. Take a razor blade or go by somebody that does inspections, whatever, and let them remove that for you, whatever it may be. But go ahead and remove them old stickers off the windshield. So you should be displaying one sticker, and that should be your registration sticker. And in saying that, as a reminder, that there's all the exemptions that were out there as far as scenarios that kept you from getting an inspection prior to registration, that's pretty much out the door from here on out. Anytime, and you should be getting notices in the mail and letting you know that the vehicle that you have, that the registration office has shown that vehicle has not been inspected. You need to get that vehicle inspected prior to registration. Okay?
All right.
Phone calls? Questions?
Nothing? Look at anything right now. Let's check the emails real quick.
Okay. Well, I'm just there shooting away.
All right. Well, do we need to take a quick break real quick?
Well, let's do that. And maybe Ed's got that coffee ready for me.
Okay. You go check on that. I'll handle the rest of this. Safety Talk here on KWHI. We've got a quick break we're going to take. Come back. More of Corbin Morgan. If you have questions for him, of course, he's here in studio live. 979-836-9937 is our number. Or I'm checking the emails here. Mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com. We'll be back after this.
DDM Metal Buildings is recognized as a leader in the industry and has delivered cost-effective, customized steel buildings to fit the customer's requirements for over 17 years. The company was built on the philosophy that low prices and high-quality fabrication will meet or exceed the customer's expectations. DDM has two locations. In Brenham, call 979-251-9503 or stop by 301 Salem Road. And in Bastrop, call 512-321-0336 or visit them online at ddmpipeandsteel.com. No matter how big or small your project, give DDM Metal Building a call at 979-251-9503.
There's some great reasons for shopping at the Forever Young Resale Shop, like great low prices on new or gently used clothing, furniture, home decor, jewelry, and more. Also, new items arrive daily, so there's always something new to see. Stop in regularly for their daily special. Plus, if you ever need a notary public, Carol is always available to notarize your papers free of charge. And last but not least, your patronage supports the senior citizens of Washington County. The Forever Young Resale Shop, 701 East Commerce Street in the old Brentex Mills office building.
Since 1936, we've seen many changes in Texas. Back then, a car cost about $700. Eyeglasses cost under $4. But some things haven't changed. You probably had your eyes examined by a Texas State optical doctor. For 75 years, the doctors of TSO have delivered quality eye care to more Texas families than any other provider. We've cared for generations of Texans, as well as we will care for your family. The doctors of TSO. Celebrating 75 years of caring for the eyes of Texas.
TSO in the Blue Bonnet Shopping Center in Brenham.
Nathan's Barbecue has a Valentine's Day special planned especially for you. This Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th, from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m., treat your sweetheart to a delicious lunch of pork or beef medallions with two sides, salad, and a drink for $12.95. Plus, add a special Valentine dessert. Bring your children along. Nathan's special Valentine kids meal is offered for only $5. Plan to spend Valentine's Day lunch with your sweetheart or family at Nathan's Barbecue. 309 Prairie Lee Street in Brenham.
Spread the love this year with a beautiful selection from Brenham Floral. Valentine's Day is this Sunday, February 14th. Order early for the best selection. Brenham Floral is booking orders now. Spread the love by having flowers delivered to the office on Friday to start the weekend off right. She'll be the envy of her coworkers. Stop by the shop in the Blue Bonnet Shopping Center on Highway 36 South or call 836-3566 to place your order for delivery on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Order online anytime, day or night, at BrenhamFloral.com to send Valentine flowers to the one you love the most. Choose from roses, lilies, tulips, Gerber daisies, balloons, chocolate truffles, plush, and more for your Valentine. Brenham Floral has something for all ages, for daughters, grandmothers, wives, mothers, and for men too. Shop local and get the best flowers and services beautifully designed by master florists and handled by local people. Spread the love by calling Brenham Floral today at 836-3566 to order your special Valentine a gorgeous bouquet. Brenham Floral Company in the Blue Bonnet Shopping Center in Brenham. Call 979-836-3566 to spread the love.
Plum Level, serving the Brenham area for over 18 years with excellent plumbing service repairs and now full service heating and AC service repairs and replacements. Winter is here, so make sure your furnace is working properly with Plum Level's Winter Checkup. Hot water running out too quickly? Replace your traditional water heater with a tankless heater providing endless hot water. Whatever your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs are, Plum Level can take care of it. Visit Plum Level at 1807 Highway 105 or online at plumlevel.com.
Step into the past at Glissman Drugstore Museum. You'll be fascinated with this drugstore that looks just as it did in 1924. Many products used to mix medicines are also on display. Then shop the variety of gift items available. Imports like clocks, dolls, and pictures from Germany, Russia, and Poland. Jewelry, pottery, music boxes, nutcrackers, beer steins, and more. They also have collectibles, accessories, and home decor, including beautiful crosses. Glissman's is open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 5 at 106 West Main Street in Brenham. Stop in today.
And welcome back once again to Safety Talk on KWHI as we've got, once again, Corporal Jimmy Morgan here in studio today answering your questions, 979-836-9937, 836-9937. And as always, Corporal Morgan, we always appreciate you taking time out and visiting with us.
Well, I'm going through my list.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I'm checking it twice.
There you go.
And it looks now we know what the doorbell was.
Yeah. If you ever hear a buzzer up here, don't worry about it.
Good rule of thumb, always come through the back door.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, let's see here. Let me slide this off here, Sergeant, real quick. Just a reminder, folks, you know, I see all this kind of lighting and stuff going on. I think I've commented on some of the other programs is that, look, when you, the law requires you to have your headlights on during 30 minutes prior to sunrise and 30 minutes after sunset. But there's also a stipulation, and when you get into the fog and all that, 1,000 feet visibility. And other than that, you're not required to have your headlights on. Mm-hmm. However, if, you know, we have these daytime running lights in some of these vehicles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And some of the daytime running lights happen to be your headlamps. And some are not. But under the 571-108 standard, that if your headlights are on, they have to both be working. So if one of them is out even during daytime when you're not even required to have it on and it's being used as a daytime running light, you can get stopped. Hopefully the officer would consider what's going on and just, you know, issue a warning or whatever it may be. I can't speak for everybody, but to let you know, hey, you got a headlight out. So The question, can I be stopped even though I'm not required to have my headlight on during daytime? And the answer to that is yes, you can. Okay. And these other lights that I see going on with they're long, they're bright and everything else. Anything over 42 inches on them and you have them activated on the roadway, you're going to be in violation on that. They're considered auxiliary lamps. You see them all different kind of places. Some are on the bumper, some are on top of the cab and all that. These things are probably more used to be out in the pasture somewhere, whatever, doing that, not to really be on the highway. And depending, and remember, you can only have four lights at a time on. So if you got your high beam, low beams going on and you got one of them going on, now that's five. Now you're in violation. So just a reminder on some of this stuff. Be careful, first of all, where you put these things at, and be careful when you activate them, because during that time you could actually be in violation law. So I just want to point that out. There's a lot of that goes on from time to time. Seeing College Station over there, them kids are running around. They got all kinds of stuff going on. Some of the trucks are 4 foot in the air. And that's another thing. You know, people always ask, "Hey, I was sitting in line the other day, and I looked in my mirror. The truck was so high it was blinding me the headlights." Well, you only get 54 inches on them headlights. So if I was to take a tape measure and go from that pavement up to that headlight, it's over 54 inches. That vehicle's in violation. So if you're going to do things to your truck, your vehicle, and everything, you may want to go ahead and check into and you may want to call a trooper or somebody in law for it. It's amazing that, and I might have told this story, I'd stopped a gentleman one time that had a RV and had a very nice custom trailer, had race car in the back and some stuff, looked real sharp. The trouble was he was over 65 foot. Matter of fact, he was close to 90 foot, 89 feet. And he had a lot of money in this thing. Mm-hmm. And so after I got through visiting, I want to let him to know that, you know, you're not even close to being. He was just astounded. He goes, what am I supposed to do? I mean, because I know what he's saying. I got a lot of money in this thing.
Yeah.
Well, he had two things to do. Either you're going to have to get a shorter trader, or you're going to have to get a different pool unit to make this thing legal. So I don't know what he ended up doing. But so the main thing, and what I'm trying to point out here, if you're going to do some of these things, contact your local law enforcement, somebody you know and you trust that it maybe helped steer you in the right direction before you start doing this stuff. These lint covers, these license plate covers, headlight covers, most of these things that I'm talking about are in violation of law. And so depending where you're at, how much time an officer's got when you pass by, he may deal with you today, or he may wait till another day when he's got time to deal with you. So sometimes I get people stop back in my day, and they say, well, I passed another officer, and he never did pull me over or say anything. Well, you never know what other agencies are doing at the time they pass. So, you know, you get out in the country where things are a little bit slower, and you kind of stick out a little bit more, you're allowed to get stopped. Say like driving down in Houston, with all that congested traffic down there where my sergeant's from, though. So, but, other than that, just trying to point that out, just, kind of reminder of that.
We got an email question that came in here today.
I'll answer it.
All right. And it says today, if I have a Jeep that I use for a farm, just a farm Jeep, and it does not have license tags, and he just lives on a back county farm road, his place has three sides with frontage road. So you have three fences and then frontage road. Can he legally drive on the back county road to check fences for where he needs to work on them?
Technically, he would have had to have farm registration or some type of registration on the pool unit. The only farm license plate exemption you get is on a trailer. It's not on the pool unit.
Okay.
So
even though it says farm truck on the license plate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get any kind of
no.
Okay,
no. He's going to have inspection on that, and he's going to have registration, some type of registration. The only exemption you get on registration and that kind of stuff is on the trailer itself. So
even though it doesn't leave the farm.
Well, he said he got on County Road, didn't he?
Well, yeah,
that's a public roadway.
Okay, but just even that.
I don't do the good old boy thing here. You know, I can't tell you an officer out there is going to take that consideration and say, oh, you're out here, you know, you may want to go ahead and get that done. I can't tell you what the law is. I can tell you what the law says, but I can't tell you how the discretion is going to be used on the officer that actually stops you. So I'll leave that up to them. But if you're asking me, if you get on a public roadway, county road, state road, and all that good stuff, you know, can you? The question is, can you? And the answer is, yes, you can. You get stopped for that. You got to have pull unit, you got to have registration, you got to have inspection on that vehicle.
Okay. And he's got a second part to this. He says, I have a Kawasaki Mule, one of those UTVs.
Sure.
Is that allowed on the road to check and repair fences? So he's got fence on the roadway. Can he drive that on the road, just have his tools off in there to stretch a little bit of fence and, you know, keep his hammer and nails and stuff off in there just to fix fences?
The short answer is yes, he's allowed to do that. He's going to have the 8-foot pole and the flag. Which a lot of these ranchers are not aware of. The same one that they're supposed to have on the four-wheelers back when. So this started out years ago. We came out with four-wheelers, and they allowed these four-wheelers 25 miles within the residence of the farmer. He could cross the roadway and check a cattle and all that. And then it came out with all these fancy operations and all that. And then it got kind of wild. Matter of fact, at one time, they were going to allow these things to be registered and operate on the road for whatever reason. And they kind of backed off of that, and they've came out here. And today, where we're at, if you've got an AT vehicle, like a Kawasaki Mule or whatever, there's three people that can operate that thing. Law enforcement, farmer, and somebody who works for the municipality, a city, a meter reader, somebody like that. That's the persons that can legally operate on the roadway. If I didn't say them three, you're not legal to be on the roadway with that thing. He's good. So the bottom line, he's better off in the Mule than he was in the truck.
All right. There you go.
That don't always happen, by the way.
All right. I think we got a phone call, too, here.
We'll take it.
Good morning.
I'll let Sergeant answer it. I need a break here.
There we go. Yes, sir. I have a trailer question. I got, like, welder machine and torch stuff that you go on. No repair. I got pipe bent everywhere. Is it legal for me to get a trailer and use it like a farm trailer with my welding machine on it instead of always putting everything on my truck and have to unload it? Is it legal to get like a...
Put like a little utility trailer?
Yeah, instead of my welding trailer.
It won't be too little, that welding stuff and all that's pretty heavy. Okay, well, let's go through this. And I see this in the lawnmower business. Some people ask me, Jimmy, can I have a trailer and put a lawnmower and all that good stuff? And the short answer is yes, I can use it on the farm. Or is it required to be registered? No, if it's under 4,000. No daytime lighting exemptions, safety chains, all that good stuff. However, you take that lawnmower and you go over to Joe Bubba's place down the road for $20, you're going to mow his grass, all bets are off. All bets are off. So the short answer to your question is yes, you can have a farm trailer with these kind of items if you're working on your own stuff. But if you go down the road and you work for an oil field company and that needs some pipe welding done or whatever, then that's compensation other than the farm, and that's what would put you in violation of the law at that point.
Make sure I did get all that set up.
So that's the main thing I ask people to do is when they buy trailers and stuff, you have to ask yourself, what am I using the trailer for?
Exactly. Yeah.
And how much weight am I dealing with when it's all said and done?
Put it on my truck and unload it, you know, so I just have a trailer that is, I just hook up to the trailer and go, or I go to the other place, and, you know, so I want to keep doing it back and forth.
I'm sorry. I lost him.
he was just wondering about that. You know, if he just takes everything and just throws it on a trailer, that way he doesn't load it on his truck, take it off his truck whenever he gets there. Yeah. He just put it on the trailer and not worry about having to get all the tags and all the other stuff on it. If he just uses it his place.
When we say tags, you got to remember this: you're going to get an exemption on a farm trailer from 4,000 to 34,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. On your registration, you're not required to have a farm trailer registry if it's under four. So you got to sit and think about how much weight are we talking about. We're talking about the weight of the trailer. We're talking about the equipment I've got on it. And once you hit that 4,000 pound, that trailer is required to at least have a farm registration on it. And then you got to remind yourself, any gainful employment with that, then you would be in violation of the farm registration.
All right. Good morning. Safety Talk today. You have a question?
Yeah, I got another trailer question.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, this is the first year I've gotten a letter on having my trailer inspected. It's an old trailer and it's only 1,400 pounds.
Mm.
And they sent me that it has to be inspected. And I was wondering what has to be on the trailer, you know, being that small.
Well, I think you need to go up to the registration office because your trailer, even we're not talking farm trailer here. We're just talking regular utility.
Yes, the regular trailer.
You're not required to have that inspected unless it's 4,500 pounds or more.
Okay.
And you're telling me 1,400 pounds.
Yeah, it's just a small trailer.
So I would take a visit to the registration office and say, I don't know why you're sending me this.
Okay.
Because the trooper, you can bury me if you want to, and mentioned on his radio program that. The law says that not required to be inspected unless it's 4,500 pounds or more on that.
Okay, and I have one more question.
Okay.
On my pickup truck, I have a 2-inch ball for the trailer on the bumper, and it covers one of the letters on the license plate. Am I supposed to take that ball off every time that I don't use it?
That's the first time I've ever had that question, and it's actually a great question.
It is a good question.
And the answer is no, you're not required to take it off.
Okay.
So you're in good shape.
Okay. All right.
There's some exceptions to their license, but what he's talking about is thanks for your call, by the way. He's talking about obstructed license plate.
Right.
And typically you get like your boat and balls and stuff like that when you load stuff. You get an exemption on that kind of stuff. So no, you're not required to take that off.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Bye.
The most infractions I see obstructed license plate is usually during the summer months when people put these racks on the back of their vehicles and they don't leave a spot for the license plate to be read. Now, the exemptions to that would be bicycle racks, handicap assistant mobility devices, wheelchairs and stuff like that. There's an exemption for them type. But if you just have it for luggage purposes, you have to leave that, and it has to be, and remember this, I have farmers and ranchers tell me, look, that license plate was getting drug off all the time. So I moved it up here out of the way. Well, that's fine during the daytime. But we're going to do it at night. Because nighttime, what? You got to have a light on, over that license plate. So be mindful that it's got to be viewable. And then nighttime, it has to have a white light visibility within 50 feet. So, I've never had that question, but it was a good question.
All right. We're going to take another break real quick.
Sure.
We'll come back and let you gather your thoughts here. We'll come back. More Safety Talk coming up right after this on KWHI.
We're all on the move. We're mobile. And while we're on the go, we need information and answers. We look at our mobile phones an average of 150 times each day, 20 of those searching for information. Our mobile devices have become our lifeline for information all day, every day, no matter where we are. Unfortunately, the search features that come with phones don't always give us the local info we need. Well, Downey's changing the game. Now, no matter where you are, Main Street in your hometown, a neighboring town, a neighboring state, anywhere from coast to coast, Downey Directory's mobile app starts local. Every time you open it, pick a popular category or put in your own, and the Downey Directory app gives you instant results, starting with the nearest to your current location. Need tires in Texarkana? A contractor in Conway? A limousine in Little Rock? How about a motel in Missouri, a locksmith in Louisiana, or a car wash in Kansas? Just open your Downey Directory app. It's always local. Kind of your own local, nationwide Yellow Pages. Only from Downey Publishing. Available for iPhone and Android where you download apps. Get the Downey Directory mobile app now.
I often get asked what I think about party favors. Well, I think the only favor you could do a party is crack open a delicious Bud Light Lime Limerita or Strawberita. A taste so delicious, you feel it in your heart, feel it in your soul. Let the music take control.
We're going to party, caramel, fiesta, forever.
Bud Light Limerita's great margarita flavor with a refreshing twist of Bud Light Lime. Fiesta forever.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Lime, Limerita, and Strawberita flavored malt beverages. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Mike Hopkins Distributing is your regional Anheuser-Busch distributor.
Los Cabos Mexican Grill has one-of-a-kind dining experience. Their amazing cuisine crosses all North American borders. Enjoy your favorite authentic Mexican and Tex-Mex dishes, grilled steaks or Texas-sized burgers, sandwiches, or your favorite pasta dish with shrimp or chicken. Lunch is served from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. with complimentary chili con queso. Their full menu is online at loscabosbrenham.com. Los Cabos should be your new destination for the most delicious food in the Brazos Valley. Open at 11 a.m. 7 days a week in Brenham on Highway 36, across from Walmart.
For the latest in water well drilling and service, call JV Water Well Service in Brenham at 979-830-0625. Justin Bilski uses the latest technology to complete your system, ensuring that it's working properly, including constant pressure pumps and solar pumps. Are you battling hard water buildup, rust stains, or spots and cloudiness on your dishes? JV Water Well Service can solve your water problems. Serving Washington and surrounding counties, JV Water Well Service specializes in water softeners, iron filters, sediment filters, and drinking water systems. Call Justin at 979-830-0625. He'll test your water, design a plan for making your water better, and give you a free estimate. Find out more online at jbwaterwellservice.com or call 979-830-0625. Justin can service your existing system or install a new system, including drilling, pump installation, testing, trenching, and pump service and repairs. JB Waterwell Service is licensed and insured. Call 979-830-0625 today or visit online at jbwaterwellservice.com.
Brenham Country Club is a family-oriented social and recreational organization providing the highest quality services and facilities. A beautiful 18-hole golf course with a 300-yard driving range. A pro shop, large swimming pool with pool house. Their large clubhouse features a full bar and Wi-Fi internet and is available for party rentals. The Brenham Country Club, 3 miles east of Brenham on Highway 105. For more information about memberships, call 836-1733. They have a membership level that's perfect for your family.
February is African American History Month, and KWHI will celebrate by airing short programs recorded by Brenham High School students. Tune in Monday, February 15th through Friday, February 19th, every morning at 7:48 and at 5:15 in the afternoon for interesting and informative programs on Black history. These African American history programs are brought to you by Miller Josie Mortuary, Brenham National Bank, Budweiser Mike Hopkins Distributing, Allen Day Funeral Home, and Bluebonnet Electric Cooperative, urging all to celebrate African American history this month.
Well, once again, welcome back to Safety Talk on KWHI. Corporal Jimmy Morgan in studio and Sergeant Kennard with him as well. Answering your questions, whatever you have in studio today for DPS troopers, they've got something for you today. 979-836-9937 or send us an email, mail, M-A-I-L, at KWHI.com. And gentlemen, again, appreciate you guys coming in and visiting with us. You guys travel a little bit to come all the way down here to Washington County, so we appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
I actually get paid. I don't know if I told you this. Don't tell him. I actually get paid to do this.
Do you really know?
Yeah.
I need your job. Oh, wait. I do too. Wait, yes, I do.
I get paid just watching them.
So here's a question. I take questions all the time. Here's a question for you. At what distance are you required to signal on a lane change?
300 feet.
300 feet.
I'm just throwing a number out there. I don't know. 300 feet, I'm guessing.
I wish I had a trivia, but we didn't have time to do that. That'd be a good trivia question.
Mm-hmm. I take it I was wrong then.
Oh, yeah, you're not even close. You're not even close, man. You're not even close. But the answer to that is there is no distance.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people get the lane change confused with turning left. Mm-hmm. That the 100 feet prior and continuous while you're making that turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lane change, there is no distance. There is no 100 feet. It's whatever distance that you can signal and let somebody else know and start moving over, mm-hmm. it's fine. There is no distance on that. So if just want to point that out. Sometimes I was reading something the other day on a case law, and mm-hmm. I thought that was something to point out. But you are required to signal, mm-hmm. but you don't have to do it within the 100 feet. So you don't have to wait 100 feet before you start moving over.
Okay.
But just make sure you do use your signal, but you don't have to wait the 100 feet. So I just thought I'd point that out.
Got a phone call here.
Sure.
Good morning. You're on safety. We had a phone call. Man. I guess they didn't want to.
I can answer that question.
They didn't. You know, I guarantee they were calling about how long do I have to signal before I make a lane change? That's what they're calling about.
Well,
and
that's why I hung up. I shouldn't have. Yeah.
I didn't know if you hadn't done that question.
Yeah. Right. Jim is so proactive. So proactive.
Well, I knew he was going to run out of time. I was like, well, let's see here. All right, on DLs. I get. You know, summer months are coming. I have not made my reservations anywhere yet, but people ask all the time on CDL-type license. Remember, there's exemptions to the CDL law, and I'm going to read you the exemptions. The people that can afford these things, these recreational vehicle, motor coach buses, mm-hmm. are you required to have a CDL driver license to operate one of them things? And the answer is no. You get an exemption on that. Now, it would be like a Class B non-CDL if the weight is over 26,000 pounds, mm-hmm. 26, and so that it would be a non-CDL. So you get exemption for that.
Do you need like a chauffeur license or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Considering how all the people could be in mm-hmm. there? No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Can you have an open alcohol beverage in a motor coach?
If you're not in the driver area, maybe?
Yeah. That's close enough. In the bag, you can have all you want.
Yeah, I mean, is
a taxi cab, same way.
Yeah. Is it really? That's good to know.
Yeah, I was looking at it. What are you, Mr. Uber or something? Uber or whatever they call that guy. There's another one out there, too. What's that other one I got out there? That?
It's Uber.
Somebody else is telling me some other.
Yeah.
I told my son to use it. He's still in college, so mm-hmm. That's what
we go places, that's what we use.
Let's see here. What much time I got?
About a minute.
Okay. Here's the deal. So you hit somebody's prized cow mm-hmm. out on the roadway.
Mm-hmm.
Are you civilly liable for that cow? He's not going to go to the Houston Rodeo Show anymore. Cow got out, you hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that cow cost me $5,000. You're going to pay for my cow.
You should have fixed your fence and let the cow out, right?
Well... Maybe the storm came through, cow got out, knocked the fence down or something.
I'd say
that's another thing.
Public road, I'd say no.
No, the short answer is no. You're not responsible unless you purposely try to hit the cow or what. I don't see anybody trying to do that. Would have to be some negligence on your part for mm-hmm. civilly liable on that. But let's take this for example, and this comes up from time to time. If you hit an animal on the roadway, a FM road.
Mm-hmm.
Can a law enforcement officer come out, work a crash scene, cite you for permitting livestock to roam on a public roadway?
As the owner of the animal?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
The That's owner your pasture. Your
yeah.
cow.
Yeah.
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 Okay. No.
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 No, he can't.
No. But
okay.
he can, and he can't. On FM roads, no. On U.S. state highway, what they'll do, go back. If there's a history of them cows being out, then that's what they'll take in consideration. And you can be filed on permanent livestock, but not on FM road.
Okay.
In the state of Texas.
So if it's some back road, a little cliche top road, couldn't do that.
Mm-mm.
All right.
All right.
It's good to know.
Corporal
yeah.
Morgan, he's always doing.
He's full of isn't he? Information. Full of information.
Hey, I'm good in the morning, but don't call me. Don't do a Steve Woodard. Call me 10:40 at night. Hey, man, how many times we had last year? I did tell the sergeant I was asleep.
Oh, my goodness. We're running out of time here, folks.
Well, I've enjoyed having me on, and thanks for Sergeant coming up.
Like I said, it's open door. Whenever you want to come in, we appreciate you, and we have a good time all the time.
All right, thank you.
If people want to get a hold of you as information.
Yeah, it's 979-776-3147 or jimmymorgan@dps.texas.gov. Or they can, get a hold of you?
Yeah, just send it to me, and I'll get it to you. Sergeant Kennard, you want to... Any closing thoughts or anything you want to say?
I'm just still amazed at Corporal Morgan. He just full of information. I think he's...
Somebody going to hire me one of these days.
Yeah, I'm just, instead of calling Google, I just call, Corporal Morgan.
He's got
Get
it.
Some stock in him, We appreciate you, brother. We appreciate being on the air.
Thank you. All right, folks, we'll do it all again. A couple more weeks, we'll get a date set, and we'll let you know about it later on. But right now, we're going to send you back to Real Country coming up. After ABC and local news, I'm KWHI in Brenham. This has been another edition of Safety Talk.
Here to keep all the speeders driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the Highway Patrol. I'm the Highway Patrol. Highway Patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low. But I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the Highway Patrol. I'm just doing my job.